Chapter 13. A man called Uwe and a clown called Beppo.
"Uwe's funny," titters the 3-year-old with delight.
"Yeah,"
the 7-year-old mumbles, not at all as impressed. She takes her little sister by the hand and walks with grown-up steps towards the hospital entrance. Their mother looks as if she's going to have a go at Uwe, but seems to decide that there's no time for that. She waddles off towards the entrance, one hand on her pouting belly as if concerned that the child may try to escape. Uwe walks behind, dragging his steps. He doesn't care that she thinks it's easier just to pay up and stop arguing, because it's actually about the principal. Why is that parking attendant entitled to give Uwe a ticket for questioning why one has to pay for hospital parking? Uwe is not the sort of man who'll stop himself from roaring, "You're just a fake policeman," at a parking attendant. That's all there is to say about it. You go to the hospital to die. Uwe knows that. It's enough that the state wants to be paid for everything you do while you're alive. When it also wants to be paid for the parking when you go to die, Uwe thinks that's about far enough. He explained this in so many words to the parking attendant. And that's when the parking attendant started waving his book at him. And that's when Parvana started raging about how she'd be quite happy to pay up, as if that was the important part of the discussion. Women don't seem to get principles. He hears the 7-year-old complaining in front of him that her clothes are smelling of exhaust. Even though they kept the sob's windows rolled down all the way, it wasn't possible to get rid of the stench. Their mother had asked Uwe what he'd really been doing in the garage, but Uwe had just answered with a sound, more or less like when you try to move a bathtub, by dragging it across some tiles. Of course, for the 3-year-old, it was the greatest adventure of her life to be able to drive along in a car with all its windows down, although it was below freezing outside. The 7-year-old, on the other hand, had burrowed her face into her scarf and vented a good deal more skepticism. She'd been irritated about slipping around with her bottom on the sheets of newspaper Uwe had spread across the seat to stop them filthifying things. Uwe had also spread newspaper on the front seat, but her mother snatched it away before she sat down. Uwe had looked more than advisably displeased about this, but managed not to say anything. Instead, he constantly glanced at her stomach, all the way to the hospital, as if anxious that she might suddenly start leaking on the upholstery.
"Stand still here now,"
she says to the girls when they are in the hospital reception. They're surrounded by glass walls and benches, smelling of disinfectant. There are nurses in white clothes and colorful plastic slippers, and old people dragging themselves back and forth in the corridors, leaning on rickety walkers. On the floor is a sign announcing that Elevator 2 in Entrance A is out of order, and that visitors to Ward 114 are therefore asked to go to Elevator 1 in Entrance C. Beneath that is another message announcing that Elevator 1 in Entrance C is out of order, and visitors to Ward 114 are asked to go to Elevator 2 in Entrance A. Under that message is a third message announcing that Ward 114 is closed this month because of repairs. Under that message is a picture of a clown, informing people that Beppo the hospital clown is visiting sick children today.
"Where did Uwe get to now?"
Parvana bursts out.
"He went to the bathroom, I think," mumbles the 7-year-old.
"Clown,"
says the 3-year-old, pointing happily at the sign.
"Do you know you have to pay them here to go to the bathroom?" Uwe exclaims incredulously.
Parvana spins around and gives Uwe a harassed look.
"Do you need to change?"
Uwe looks offended.
"Why would I need change?"
"For the bathroom."
"I don't need to go to the bathroom."
"But you said—"
she begins, then stops herself and shakes her head.
"Forget it, just forget it. When does the parking meter run out?"
she asks instead.
10 minutes.
She groans.
"Don't you understand it'll take longer than 10 minutes?
"In that case, I'll go out and feed the meter in 10 minutes, says Uwe, as if this was quite obvious.
"Why don't you just pay for longer and save yourself the bother?"
she asks, and looks like she wishes she hadn't as soon as the question crosses her lips.
"Because that's exactly what they want. They're not getting a load of money for time we might not even use."
"Oh, I don't have the strength for this,"
sighs Parvana, and holds her forehead. She looks at her daughters.
Will you sit here nicely with Uncle Uva while Mum goes to see how Dad is, please?
Yeah, yeah, agrees the 7-year-old grumpily.
Yes,
the 3-year-old shrieks with excitement.
What?
Whispers Uva. Parvana stands up.
What do you mean with Uva? Where do you think you're going?
To his great consternation, the pregnant one seems not to register the level of upset in his voice.
You have to sit here and keep an eye on them,
she states curtly, and disappears down the corridor before Uva can raise further objections. Uva stands there, staring after her, as if he is expecting her to come rushing back and cry out that she was only joking, but she doesn't. So Uva turns to the girls. And in the next second, he looks as if he's just about to shine a desk lamp into their eyes and interrogate them on their whereabouts at the time of the murder.
Book!
Screams the 3-year-old at once and rushes off towards the corner of the waiting room, where there's a veritable chaos of toys, games, and picture books. Uva nods, and having confirmed to himself that this 3-year-old seems to be reasonably self-motivating, he turns his attention to the 7-year-old.
Right, and what about you?
What do you mean, me?
She counters with indignation.
Do you need food, or do you have to go for a wee or anything like that?
The child looks at him as if he just offered her a beer and a cigarette.
I'm almost 8. I can go to the bathroom myself.
Uva throws out his arms abruptly.
Sure, sure, so bloody sorry for asking.
She snorts.
You sword,
yells the 3-year-old as she turns up again, running to and fro between Uva's trouser legs. He skeptically peruses this grammatically challenged little natural disaster. She looks up and her whole face smiles at him.
Read,
she orders him in an excitable manner, holding up a book with her arms stretched out so far that she almost loses her balance. Uva looks at the book, more or less as if it just sent him a chain letter insisting that the book was really a Nigerian prince who had a very lucrative investment opportunity for Uva and now only needed Uva's account number to sort something out.
Read,
she demands again, climbing the bench in the waiting room with surprising agility. Uva reluctantly sits about a yard away on the bench. The 3-year-old sighs impatiently and disappears from sight, her head reappearing seconds later under his arm with her hands leaning against his knee for support and her nose pressed against the colorful pictures in the book.
Once upon a time, there was a little train, reads Uva, with all the enthusiasm of someone reciting a tax statement.
Then he turns the page. The 3-year-old stops him and goes back. The 7-year-old shakes her head tiredly.
You have to say what happens on that page as well, and do voices,
she says. Uva stares at her.
What blood? He clears his throat mid-sentence. What voices?
He corrects himself.
Fairy tale voices,
replies the 7-year-old.
You sword,
the 3-year-old announces with glee.
Did not, says Uva.
Yes,
says the 3-year-old.
We're not doing any voices.
Maybe you're no good at reading stories,
notes the 7-year-old.
Maybe you're no good at listening to them, Uva counters.
Maybe you're no good at telling them.
Uva looks at the book, very unimpressed.
What kind of nonsense is this anyway? Some talking train? Is there nothing about cars?
Maybe there's something about nutty old men instead,
mutters the 7-year-old.
I'm not an old man, Uva hisses.
Clown,
the 3-year-old cries out jubilantly.
And I'm not a clown either, he roars.
The older one rolls her eyes at Uva, not unlike the way her mother often rolls her eyes at Uva.
She doesn't mean you, she means the clown.
Uva looks up and catches sight of a full-grown man who's quite seriously got himself dressed up as a clown, standing in the doorway of the waiting room. He's got a big, stupid grin on his face as well.
Clown!
The toddler howls, jumping up and down on the bench in a way that finally convinces Uva that the kid is on drugs. He's heard about that sort of thing. They have that attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and
get to take amphetamines on prescription.
And who's this little girl here, then? Does she want to see a magic trick, perhaps?
The clown exclaims, helpfully, and squelches over to them like a drunken moose in a pair of large red shoes, which, Uva confirms to himself, only an utterly meaningless person would prefer to wear rather than getting himself a proper job. The clown looks gaily at Uva.
Has Uncle got a 5-kroner piece, perhaps?
No, Uncle doesn't, perhaps, Uva replies. The clown looks surprised, which isn't an entirely successful look for a clown. But, listen, it's a magic trick. You do have a coin on you, don't you? Mumbles the clown in his more normal voice, which contrasts quite strongly with his character and reveals that behind this idiotic clown, a quite ordinary idiot is hiding, probably all of 25 years old. Come on, I'm a hospital clown. It's for the children's sake. I'll give it back.
Just give him a 5-kroner coin, says the 7-year-old. Clown, screams the 3-year-old.
Uva peers down with exasperation at the tiny speech defect and wrinkles his nose. Right, he says, taking out a 5-kroner piece from his wallet. Then he points at the clown. But I want it back, immediately. I'm paying for the parking with that. The clown nods eagerly and snatches the coin out of his hand. Minutes later, Parvana comes back down the corridor to the waiting room. She stops, confusedly scanning the room from side to side.
Are you looking for your girls? A nurse asks sharply behind her.
Yes,
Parvana answers, perplexed.
There, says the nurse in a not entirely appreciative way and points at a bench by the large glass doors leading onto the parking area.
Uva is sitting there with his arms crossed, looking very angry. On one side of him sits the 7-year-old, staring up at the ceiling with an utterly bored expression, and on the other side sits the 3-year-old, looking as if she just found out she's going to have an ice cream breakfast every day for a whole month. On either side of the bench stand 2 particularly large representatives of the hospital's security guards, both with very grim facial expressions.
Are these your children? One of them asks. He doesn't look at all as if he's having an ice cream breakfast.
Yes, what did they do?
Parvana wonders, almost terrified.
They didn't do anything, the other security guard replies, with a hostile stare at Uva.
Me neither, Uva mutters sulkily.
Uva hit the clown,
the 3-year-old shrieks delightedly.
Snake, says Uva.
Parvana stares at him, agape, and can't even think of anything to say.
He was no good at magic anyway, the 7-year-old groans.
Can we go home now?
She asks, standing up.
Why, hold on, what? What clown?
The clown Beppo,
the toddler explains, nodding wisely.
He was going to do magic, says her sister.
Stupid magic, says Uva.
Like he was going to make Uva's 5-kroner coin go away, the 7-year-old elaborates.
And then he tried to give back another 5-kroner coin, Uva interjects, with an insulted stare at the nearby security guards as if this should be enough of an explanation.
Uva hit the clown, Mom.
The 3-year-old titters as if this was the best thing that ever happened in her whole life. Parvana stares for a long time at Uva, the 3-year-old, 7-year-old, and the 2 security guards.
We're here to visit my husband. He's had an accident. I'm bringing in the children now to say hello to him, she explains to the guards.
Daddy fall, says the 3-year-old.
That's fine, one of the security guards nods. But this one stays here, confirms the other security guard and points at Uva. I hardly hit him. I just gave him a little poke, Uva mumbles, adding, bloody fake policeman, just to be on the safe side.
Honestly, he was no good at magic anyway, says the 7-year-old grumpily in Uva's defense as they leave to visit their father.
An hour later, they are back at Uva's garage. The lanky one has one arm and one leg in casts and has to stay at the hospital for several days, Uva has been informed by Parvana. When she told him, Uva had to bite his lip very hard to stop himself laughing. He actually got the feeling Parvana was doing the same thing.
The Saab still smells of exhaust when he collects the sheets of newspaper from the seats.
Please, Uwe, are you sure you won't let me pay the parking fine? Says Parvana.
Is it your car? Uwe grunts.
No.
Well then, he replies.
But it feels a bit like it was my fault, she says, concerned.
You don't hand out parking fines, the council does. So it's the bloody council's fault, says Uwe, and closes the door of the Saab. And those fake policemen at the hospital, he adds.
Clearly, still very upset that they forced him to sit without moving on that bench until Parvana came back to pick him up and they went home. As if he couldn't be trusted to wander about freely among the other hospital visitors. Parvana looks at him for a long time in thoughtful silence. The 7-year-old gets tired of waiting and starts walking across the parking area towards the house. The 3-year-old looks at Uwe with a radiant smile.
You're funny, she declares.
Uwe looks at her and puts his hands in his trouser pockets.
You shouldn't turn out too bad yourself.
The 3-year-old nods excitedly. Parvana looks at Uwe, looks at the plastic tube on the floor of his garage, looks at Uwe again. A touch worried.
I could do with a bit of help taking the ladder away, she says, as if she was in the middle of a much longer thought.
Uwe kicks distractedly at the asphalt.
And I think we have a radiator as well that doesn't work, she adds, a passing thought. Would be nice of you if you could have a look at it. Patrick doesn't know how to do things like that, you know, she says, and takes the 3-year-old by the hand.
Uwe nods slowly.
No. Might have known.
Parvana nods. Then she suddenly gives off a satisfied smile.
And you can't let the girls freeze to death tonight, Uwe, right? It's quite enough that they had to watch you assault a clown, no?
Uwe gives her a dour glance. Silently to himself, as if negotiating, he concedes that he can hardly let the children perish just because their no-good father can't open a window without falling off a ladder. That'd be a hellish amount of nagging from Uwe's wife if he went and arrived in the next world as a newly qualified child murderer. Then he picks up the plastic tube from the floor and hangs it up on a hook on the wall, locks the Saab with the key, closes the garage, tugs at it 3 times to make sure it's closed, then goes to fetch his tools from the shed.
Tomorrow's as good a day as any to kill oneself,